This is the last of the 12-week series entitled In Christ Insights. This morning, we reach the pinnacle of the series. We're going to talk about agape love. Agape, the Greek word for godly love. Love is at the heart of God, and it is at the heart of His church. It's the tie that binds us together. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the first mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces love in His church. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. We want you to think about that with the title, Love, the Excellent Way. We're going to look at the church in Corinth to start. Before we do, I want to just to impress upon you this and this thought that I'd like you to think about. Living in Christ is taking baby or toddler steps of love toward the infinite fullness of the eternal life which He has given to you. Each and every Spirit-guided love step can increase your maturity. Consider the church at Corinth. That church was full of dissension and jealousy. They were also excited over the gifts of the Spirit to show off their own glory and their own self-edification, not God's glory. And they didn't meet the needs of one another in the church. They were looking to their own needs. So the Lord not only pointed this out to them through Paul, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But he really went on and told them of a more excellent way later in the book. It's like this. He said to them, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but instead as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. He went on then to say in chapter 12, verse 31, that he was going to show them a more excellent way, that way being love. So we'll begin looking at the idea of godly love with what the Lord said in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, when he was asked about the law. Someone asked him this, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So this is from the Old Testament. That's the whole law and the prophets right there. It's the heart of God. It's love. Now in the New Testament, it didn't change very much. We have the law of Christ. If we look at the Last Supper, the Passover that the Lord had with His disciples before He went to the cross, He said to them this, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The commandment that the Lord gave us through His disciples. The commandment to the church is exactly that, to love one another. He says in Galatians 6:2, Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In John 15:13, we read, Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And then in 1 John 3:23, we read, This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So there you see it laid out very plainly. In the Old Covenant, the whole law and the prophets was shown by loving God and loving one another. The New Covenant, the commandment is to love one another. That pretty much is it, right? So what is the origin of love? Well, that's not hard to answer, is it? It's God. So I want to read Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, of course. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then John 15:13. Again, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So I'd like you to open your Bibles. We're going to look at two main scripture passages. The first one is in 1 John, and then later on we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So open your Bibles to 1 John 4:7-11. 1 John 4:7-11. Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is what you and I in Christ are all about. This is what the church is all about. It's about loving one another. It's loving God first, because he first loved us. And also loving one another. This is the fullness of Christ in us and us in him. This is how we progress. This is how we move from being toddlers, so to speak, to young people in Christ, to being more mature in Christ, is by loving one another, by sacrificing for one another. That's the kind of love we're talking about. It's sacrificial love. It's giving, not receiving. It's giving of ourselves, giving of our time, our money, our effort, our talents, our energies for one another. That might be focused on prayer. It might be focused on being helpful. It might be focused on giving care to someone who needs it. There's many ways that we can walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit has given us. All of these boil down to one thing. We're motivated by love. Godly love. That's what the Spirit in us produces and motivates us to do. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in love, especially toward those of the household of faith, as we studied last week. But looking at the Corinthian church, again, that, the Lord told them they're just infants. They're fleshly. They weren't very spiritual. Yet they were really emphasizing spiritual gifts. And Paul said, I want to show you a more excellent way. And he did that in 1 Corinthians 13. That's called the love chapter. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. But we're going to look at it a little differently than it is normally looked at. We're going to start at verse 8, a little section there where he again talks to the Corinthian church about how immature they are. And then we're going back to the little section, starting at verse 4, that really should be the heart of our lives. That be instructions for us how we should live day to day, 24/7. So we're going to start at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. So it's like he's saying, it's time to put away your toys, little boys and girls, and grow up a little bit. It's time to take on some responsibilities. It's time to move beyond those things that just please yourself and you learn some basics, to move on to more mature things. So he's said, like, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. Here's a question for you. How do we progress beyond being spiritual infants like the church at Corinth was? Well, first may I suggest this. Remember when we learned this? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We should be focused on our Lord, be focused on Christ, be focused on things above, not on things of the world, the Bible tells us. By the Spirit and by the Word, we can grow into a productive part of the body of Christ, a productive part in His church. Each and every one of us, you know, we all will use our gifts from God in different ways, but we use them in love for one another. So the second, operate in the excellent way in the Christ life. How do we do that? Well, here we go. This is the heart of the message. This is the heart of our lives. This is Christ. It starts at verse 4, and we want to read right on down through verse 8, or to verse 8, I should say. Think about these things as being the heart of life in Christ. This is the fullness of God in Christ. It's Christ Himself. Think of these verses in these ways as we read them. Starting at 1 Corinthians 13:4, here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account the wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, it says in verse 8. Love never fails. So my question is, why does love never fail? And if love never fails, if I am in love, will I ever fail? If I'm walking in Christ in His love, will I ever fail? Certainly have setbacks, for sure. Certainly feel like failure sometimes, at least I do. We certainly get knocked down. We certainly don't complete everything that we want to complete. We don't fulfill everything we want to fulfill. We don't always think about things in the right way or have the right words or be at the right place at the right time, it seems to us. So then how can the Word say, love never fails? Well, the answer is simpler than you might think. And we'll end with this answer. If it is the real love of God in Christ, it cannot fail.